Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Victor totally sent me, you know, the crying eyes emoji. He loved it. And we have confirmed that Victor Oladipo hit me with the text back. But I have been waiting for this moment. I have been waiting for this clap back. But first, we're Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chiney Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. here holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear hotline. Now, in about 10 minutes, we're going to get to the latest that is swirling in the world of sports when it comes to the number one pick and who houses it. The Jacksonville Jaguars closing in on former college coach great from Florida and Ohio State, Urban Meyer. But I want to get back to this clapback because this clapback was just legendary. So it's time for us to head to the Goodyear hotline to chat with Tyler Cameron. Tyler C., the Bachelorette runner-up. We've also got the former Wake Forest FAU quarterback. Tyler, thanks for joining us. And before we get your word, I just want to run this sound just to make sure we're all good. Go ahead, Junior.
You know what hasn't been close?
What?
Notre Dame in any college football playoff or bowl game, you know, BCS championship game.
Wow.
I got a number for you, Golic. 45. 45. The combined score of the Notre Dame playoff game against Alabama and the BCS game that you were a part of. The amount of points and the spread differential there.
All right.
There should be a bowl ban from Notre Dame. There should be a bowl ban from Notre Dame until they can get their crap together, maybe join a conference or something to play some real football.
So that was last week when Tyler joined us to make his NFL picks, and we're going to get those again this week. I believe Tyler and Chiney both went 4-2 last week in the picks, I believe. Chiney,
yes.
You were 4-2. Tyler, I think you might have been 3-3 actually last week. And so we're going to get those picks in a second, but I want to see if there's like an apology you want to offer here, if you want to like take anything back that happened last time.
No, but I heard some interesting news though.
Really?
I heard Notre Dame's going to resurface their whole stadium in cardboard because they always play better on paper.
Wow. I am speechless right now. So again, you're coming to our show as a guest, as someone we want to have here to have fun about this, and this is the way you want to choose to live. I'm just being 100%
clear. You got money twice.
No, man, I'm always going to come in hot. I'm tired of cheap football. You know what I mean? I want real football. Notre Dame is not worth the discussion of being in the playoffs no more. No matter if we extend the playoffs to 16 teams, they shouldn't even be involved anymore. They should maybe go pick up D1 AA football.
You know what? Let's talk about real football because this weekend we've got the divisional. And Tyler,
I thought we were going to stay talking about 1AA football where Tyler played.
No, he's good. I mean, he's winning.
Yeah. Easy going. I didn't have a dad to play off of. You know what I mean?
My man came ready with it. Oh, man.
Man. Very family-friendly show, just like The Bachelorette, but we're a family-friendly show. We have siblings in the game. So I'll stand by you, Junior. Tyler, keep the heat. But you talked about real football, and we'll get real football this weekend, especially in the divisional. So are you ready to hand out your roses and make some more picks?
Let's hand them out. Let's hand them out.
Perfect. All right, the first two games for your picks. We've got the Rams at the Packers and the Ravens at the Bills.
All right, so this one's easy, man. Aaron Rodgers is not going to be denied this year. He's going to be a Super Bowl champion by the end of all this. He's been playing great football all season. So that's an easy one. The Packers are going to win that one. And then the Ravens and the Bills. The Ravens don't look strong this year. They don't look very good. Josh Allen's playing great football. I love Stephon Diggs. They got another great FAU running back leading the way in Devin Singletary. So I'm going to have to go with the Bills on that one easily.
All right, so we've got Green Bay and Buffalo for the first two games as Tyler Cameron joins us here, Bachelorette runner-up, former Wake Forest quarterback on Chiney and Golic Jr. Now we do have to head back to the current season of The Bachelor. For anyone that's unaware, again, Matt James, Tyler's roommate, former teammate as well, back in the day, and he came under fire yesterday. Our crew over at Sports Nation brought this to everyone's attention that he was caught in this last episode kissing with his eyes open. And so, Tyler, I'm going to ask you, kissing with your eyes open, fair or foul?
That's foul, man. That's foul. Matt James has a lot of kissing practice to do. I hope the girl he picked, you know, can help him work with that. I mean, he's kissing girls with his eyes open. He's kissing girls like he's shooting ping pong balls out of his mouth. He's like, you know, he's got some weird things going on, man. I saw one where he like wrapped around like the mouth around her face. I was like, man.
All right.
Matt, I'm waiting for Matt to come home so I can fire him up. So he's going to get it when he gets here.
All right, there we go. So we've got kissing coaching that's going to have to go on in this situation right now. Before we get back to more,
he should have volunteered. What's the highlight tape I had the season before?
The kissing highlight tape there. Run that teach tape stuff from Tyler Cameron for his buddy Matt James. So before we get back to the rest of what's going on in this season of The Bachelorette, let's get your final two picks on this one. We've got Cleveland against the Kansas City Chiefs and Tampa Bay and New Orleans. Two big-time matchups on the weekend. Who do you have in these?
I love these games. I love these games. I think the Browns, though, are going to get whooped here. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL right now. That's going to be an easy dub for them. Another great game. I think this one's going to come down to the end is the Saints and the Buccaneers. But come on, it's Tom Brady. It's playoff time. You know who's going to show up. So TB12 all the way. He's got way too many weapons. He got beat twice. It's hard to beat a team three times.
All right, so there we go. We've got Tampa Bay and Kansas City as the picks here, and then we've got Green Bay and Buffalo right now. So those are Tyler's four picks for the weekend. Shanae and I will give our picks tomorrow there. Now, Tyler, we got another question here, Bachelor-related, from this last week's episode. Saw a bit of a villain start to emerge right now in Queen Victoria. And so I'm curious for you, because your season, for anyone that doesn't remember, with Hannah Brown was the Bachelorette, you guys had Luke P. in the house. So what's it like dealing with the villain once someone kind of declares themselves in the Bachelor Mansion?
It's tough. It's tough. You know, I'm the kind of person I don't like to leave anybody out. So I was the last one to jump ship on Luke. I was trying so hard. I was like, look, just respect me, respect the girl, respect everyone else, and we'll be fine. But he couldn't figure that one out. I don't think she's going to be able to figure this one out. So kind of the house turns on you. And once they turn on you, it's tough. It's tough living. No one wants to be around you. So it's going to be hard for her. I don't know how she's handling it, but I just hope she's staying sane because the fan base will get after you.
There's no question about that. Tyler Cameron, former Bachelorette runner-up with us here on Shanae and Golic Jr. It can get spicy pretty quickly, and so I want to end on this. You gave us your picks for the NFL right now going into divisional weekend. I'll ask you, this is your boy, this is your roommate, your best friend. You told us last time you guys share underwear together. And
that
so I want to know in this situation, from what you've seen so far, do you have anyone that sticks out as a favorite for who you like for your best friend?
Yeah, I got a couple. I got a couple. There's a girl named Kit on there I like. There's a girl named Serena P on there that I like, and then there's a girl named Maggie on there that I like. So that's my big three right there right now.
In the spirit of the B unit in Brooklyn, I like that.
Incredible stuff. So we've got the picks for
this
weekend.
All, you know, they gotta do whatever they can to try and beat my LeBron. You know, so.
there we go. So we've got the LeBron declaration in here as well. Thank you for, by the way, checking the ESPN bingo board, making sure we get LeBron James in this conversation. Tyler, we appreciate the time and the picks. I guess we'll have you back on next week and see what other material our producers can feed to you to slander me, and we'll try and see if we can keep this thing going.
I'll have more things to fire at Notre Dame. Y'all have a good one. Thank you for having me on.
Always.
Tyler Cameron, runner-up for The Bachelorette.
You didn't hear my aside, right?
Here. What was it?
He was talking about, like, oh, yeah, he needs to get reps. I was like, I volunteer as tribute, Matt James. You need reps? I got you, bro.
Shanae just openly throwing out jumpers right now at the
current Bachelor. Whoa, Cliff, come. What's your problem?
Yeah, I don't got a problem. I'm just saying, like, you need a tall glass of water or something? Like, what's going on over there in L.A.?
I'm good, bro.
Janae is clearly coming down. For anyone with us earlier, Janae was at the dentist earlier. She was all shot up with Novocaine. Her mouth was numb, and suddenly the thought and the conversation around Matt James has instantly made you more capable, Janae. I'm shocked.
Yes. Well, cut to break. Just cut to break.
If you want to see more compelling interviews like that outside of the world of sports, but still kind of rubbing up against it, Stephen A. Smith is the place to go. Stephen A. Smith goes beyond the headlines with a unique world of hot takes, one-of-a-kind segments, and can't-miss interviews. Stream his new show, Stephen A.'s World, exclusively on ESPN+. You can sign up now at ESPNplus.com. You can also catch us there, as well as the rest of the ESPN radio lineup, when you get ESPN+. So make sure you check that out. Go get signed up for ESPN Plus now. Stephen A.'s World, a great watch and a great listen so far. But coming up next, let's switch gears and go back to the world of college football we spent time discussing, because we're getting ready to kind of find how that crossover can work. Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars conversation links up. How does it work in a football sense, and how does it work off the field in so many of the issues we know surround this coach? We'll talk to someone who knows next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Obviously now, Urban Meyer has spurred our imagination further than we even thought. A day after another guy left the red and white, we find another finding new colors. We will go wall to wall the next 30 minutes with people who will provide their expertise to this professional potential transition going down right now, potentially. Chinay Ngolick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogwumike, Mike Golick Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear hotline now. Before we get to our next guest and get into the Urban Meyer scenario that's developing, Junior, are you okay? Because, like, there was another Notre Dame stadium full of cardboard because y'all look better on paper. Like,
oh, Jay, listen.
How are you doing?
Notre Dame slander and nepotism jokes I've heard in every comment section since I was 17 years old. Like, I mean, he's got to come with better material than that if he's actually going to crack the armor here.
I know, and that's exactly why I said we're a family-friendly show, and I stand. Because, you know, I have a sister that has done some pretty good things, and a lot of people say the same thing about me, and we stand together, okay?
And, I mean, listen, all I know is he was 3-1, 3-3 last week. You and I were 4-2 and 4-1-1, so...
Numbers never lie, period. And speaking of voices, as we get back to the conversation, I'm really excited because right now we are joined by Richard Johnson, SEC Network analyst, and also check out Thinking Out Loud on ESPN Radio, joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Richard, I know you've heard a lot of testing nature here, but as a Jaguars fan, potentially lining up and linking up with a coach that has a lot of pedigree when it comes to college football, how do you feel about this potential tag team scenario in Jacksonville?
Well, first of all, it's kind of my world's converging, honestly. Like, I grew up in Gainesville, Florida, and went to the University of Florida. Like, I was in high school when Tim Tebow was running up and down football fields and winning Heisman trophies with Urban Meyer, under Urban Meyer. And also, I'm a Jaguars fan. I'm from North Florida. So, this really is my world's converging. The Jaguars are at the precipice of probably the most important offseason they have had in 20 years. They're about to most likely draft Trevor Lawrence, a franchise-changing quarterback. They have the first pick in the draft, obviously. They have more cap space than any other team in the league in a year where the cap is probably not going to go up. It's going to stay flat, if not go down. So teams are going to be shedding veterans, and the Jaguars are going to be in a position to sign some of those veterans. They also have 11 draft picks, 4 in the top 50. Everything about this offseason is mission critical to get right, to try to get this thing turned in the right direction and to get what is really, unfortunately for me, the laughing stock of the NFL, one of them at least, in the right direction quickly. And so Shad Khan and the leadership in Jacksonville seem to have zeroed in on Urban Meyer, and it looks like things are moving pretty quick, and we may get some resolution about this tonight or tomorrow, the way things are looking to play out. Urban as the head coach, it's a big we'll see. I think the on-field product, that's not what I'm worried about as a Jags fan. That's not what I'm worried about. What I am concerned about is, you know, the roster management, some of the team building stuff, some of the team maintaining stuff. Those are the things that keep me up at night when I think about Urban Meyer, Jacksonville Jaguars head coach.
Richard Johnson with us again, SEC Network analyst. You can catch him as a part of Thinking Out Loud on the SEC Network alongside Alyssa Lang, Spencer Hall, great crew there. And Richard, I want to stick with that football portion of it for a second, because obviously history is littered with great college coaches that couldn't go and make this happen in the NFL. Do you think there's any part of him being away from the game for a couple of years, being on TV, kind of a similar break to before he went to Ohio State, that helps you feel better about this situation as opposed to some others that made that jump immediately?
Yeah, I mean, you would hope that Urban Meyer has, in the last few years since he's been done with Ohio State, learned a little bit more about the NFL game. It seems that as early as last year, it sort of kicked up interest as far as his interest in the NFL game. And he's clearly done his homework. Urban Meyer's not hopping into this, you know, willy-nilly, particularly with his health concerns or whatever. And this is a measured decision Urban Meyer is taking to take this role. And I think when you think about the homework that he's done, he obviously has to have looked into what the modern athlete, the modern professional athlete, I should say, wants and needs. Now, this is where things are going to get very interesting, because Urban Meyer is more of a my way or the highway coach than a player's coach like Jimmy Johnson or something like that, to sort of use that example. So Urban's going to come in here and do some my way or the highway stuff. Now, the question is that going to work? What is going to make it work, obviously, is winning. You know, Bill Belichick can be my way or the highway when he won a Super Bowl in his second year and he's got, you know, a fistful of rings to point back on. But if he doesn't win in, you know, year two or year three, that my way or the highway stuff doesn't really work. His culture isn't really able to be implemented if that culture doesn't start to win fairly early. I'm not saying they got to go 16-0 next season, but you've got to go some proof of concept with this young squad next year. And then in year two or year three, you've got to pretty seriously contend, or at least for a division for the playoff berth, or this thing may go sideways pretty quickly.
Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., and Richard Johnson of SEC Network here joining us on ESPN Radio. And you use the word culture, and I feel like when it comes to building programs, building organizations, you hear culture, and you also understand that that comes with climate. And right now, we're seeing a situation today even affecting the Detroit Lions organization where they get a few picks back based on who they hired. How do you think the greater idea of hiring Urban Meyer affects the climate that we're currently dealing with, practices and what we're pushing for diversity when it comes to the NFL's hires?
Well, you know, Shai Khan was actually asked about, you know, whether diversity would be one of the things he hopes to check off with this hire, or both hires at the time. The question was posed to him about head coach and GM. The Jaguars have an interim GM, but not a permanent one. And Shai Khan kind of skirted around it and dodged the issue and did the thing that people do when they say they want the best person for the job, whatever that means. But at the end of the day, every organization says, you know, we care about diversity, then they don't hire a diverse candidate, and then the other 31 of them do that, and so we sit in the climate that we do, where everybody passes the buck on diversity, and nobody wants to go and make a diverse hire, right? Like, this is a splash hire that the Jaguars look like they're about to make with Urban Meyer. It's just curious how organizations can take splashes and take risks with white coaches, but they don't take splashes and they don't take risks with diverse coaches, coaches of color, to the extent that they do with white coaches. It's just funny how that works to me.
And it continues to pop up and appears to continue to work that way over and over again in a way that's tremendously frustrating. Richard, we appreciate the time and, again, your unique insight as your worlds collide in this situation. And I'm sure we'll talk to you soon as all this continues to unfold.
Thanks, guys.
Richard Johnson, again, SEC Network analyst. You can check him out as a part of Thinking Out Loud, also a podcast, Split Zone Duo, wherever you get your podcasts. There, but Chinee, he mentioned it. Part of this is some of the unknown about making that jump. But coming up next, we'll talk to someone with a boatload of front office experience about what we've seen in the past from coaches trying to make that jump from big time college star to NFL head coach. We'll do that. It's Chinee Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinee Ogwumike Jr., the podcast.
So we have already tackled one matchup in the AFC when it comes to the divisional, Browns and Chiefs. In about 10 minutes, we will get you the next one. And boy, oh boy, man, that's going to be really fun. I mean, you can run and tell that. You get what I'm doing there? You know, Lamar, Josh, I know I'm super corny. Chinee Ogwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio, streaming live on ESPN Plus. Y'all didn't know how corny I was. It's like the cornball Olympics when it comes to me, but that's just me. We just had Richard Johnson on, which was really fun, Jr., because he's really followed the Urban Meyer story and situation, and even just when it comes to his fandom for football with Urban Meyer and Jacksonville in this potential merger, he followed that his entire life, and now I think it's really great that we get a view from a different angle. So let's head back to the Goodyear Hotline, and we are so delighted to be joined right now by Lewis Riddick, former NFL player and also executive. First and foremost, Lewis, hey, thanks for joining us. I don't think we've talked since the new year. I feel like it's still appropriate to say Happy New Year, but you've got you've got one full round of NFL Mondays under your belt. How does it feel?
It was great. It went real fast because of how detailed you had to be all year long as far as testing and quarantining and trying to stay healthy, the anxiety associated with traveling and all. But you know, once we put the headsets on, Chinee, and we did the games, it was just like any other Monday night, you know, that you would expect it to be in terms of how excited you were and how good the games were. So, I mean, it was great. The team, the Monday Night Football team, is spectacular. Everybody behind the scenes is just rock stars, A pluses across the board. They should all be very, very proud, both now and in the future, for what they were able to accomplish this year.
I promise I'll get to an Urban Meyer question, but that just led me to believe, like, did you have a favorite moment? Because I can only imagine how special it was being in the booth after a season where we didn't even know what was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of them. I think going to Vegas, since I had played for the Raiders in Oakland, and being out there and seeing that new stadium and just how excited the team was to play in there and just picturing what it would be like to play in that stadium. And we wore the throwback Monday Night Football gold jackets, yellow jackets that night that had the ABC logo on the pocket. That was real cool. And then obviously the game between Baltimore and Cleveland, that Lamar, you know, the whole Lamar goes in the locker room, comes back out, converts a fourth down, they win the football game. That was the best game probably of the year, regardless of whether it was ours or not. And there was only 15,000 fans in the stadium that night, but you would have thought there was 150,000. It was about as exciting as of a game as I've ever been a part of, fans or no fans. So those are two that stick out. But the whole year was real cool. I mean, you knew just how big of a project we were dealing with, and you really couldn't ask for anything more other than for the fans to be a part of it.
Certainly, that Monday night game, I mean, that was a movie script that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens wrote that night. As we're talking to Lewis Riddick, our ESPN NFL front office analyst and Monday night football analyst with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, Lewis, a lot of the talk and conversation today has been around the reports centering with Urban Meyer and Jacksonville, those conversations continuing to progress as he looks like one of the biggest candidates for their next head coach. And I'm curious, for you, you played your college football, Pitt spent a long time in the NFL as a player and in the front office. What's the biggest thing people miss when they look at coaches trying to make that jump from college to the NFL ranks as far as the learning curve that goes there?
Well, I really what I think it is, it's a matter of patience is what it is for the college coaches, the kind of patience that they're going to have at the NFL level in regards to you can't just get every single player that you want simply because you spend more time with them or recruit them harder than some other place does. You only have a certain number of draft picks per year, although this year it seems like Jacksonville has an unlimited number of draft picks. You only have a certain amount of cap space per year to sign your 53 guys, although it seems like Jacksonville has an unlimited amount of cap space this year. That's really the transition that you have to make when you're constructing your roster. And then, you know, the limited availability of guys during the season and how long the season is and how much attrition comes into play and how sometimes – you know, you'll go long stretches without your best players being available, and then the drop-off in talent from, you know, the starter to the backup is significant. So then, you know, college coaches, I mean, they're going to have to get used to that. And then how good of a staff can you construct? How much is the staff used to dealing with and coaching against the schemes and strategies and tactics employed at the NFL level? So there's a whole bunch of things right there that college coaches have to get used to. And I think as a result, you're going to have to temper your expectations, you know, especially in the first 1 to 2, 2 to 3 years until they can get their footing and they can kind of implement their program the same way it was for Jimmy Johnson when he went to Dallas. I mean, even though he had all those picks that he got from the Herschel Walker trade, there were some lean years there in the beginning, and there were some growing pains until they built that dynasty. And I think people are going to have to temper their expectations initially with Urban.
And Lewis Riddick with us here on Shanahan Golic Jr. I am curious because you mentioned that, and certainly a coach that you played for in Cleveland who's gone on with overwhelming success in Nick Saban in Alabama had his try at the NFL that did not go the way that he probably wanted in that instance. Have you ever gotten a chance to talk to him about what he learned through that process, getting to then go back to college and seeing the success he's had since?
Well, here's the difference between Urban and Nick. I played for Nick when Nick was our coordinator in Cleveland, and he was our defensive coordinator and position coach. So that's the thing people forget. They act like he just came from LSU and went to the pros and then said, this isn't for me. Nick, pretty much him and Bill developed the Patriot way in Cleveland, and then Bill took it to New England. Nick left in 1994 for the 95 season to go to Michigan State. Then he goes to LSU. Then he went to the pros. So Nick knew what he was getting into. He knew what he was getting into. Now, obviously, he had a taste of the ultimate success at LSU and being able to recruit as many guys as he wanted to simply by outworking the next guy. And I'm sure he got, you know, he liked that. when he got to the pros, look, Nick coached people, I'm sure, in Miami the same way and just as hard as he coached us when we were in Cleveland. So it wasn't like he didn't know what he was getting into and he didn't know how to talk to players. Maybe players in Miami didn't like how he talked to them. But I'll tell you this, we had some record-setting defenses in Cleveland. So he knew what he was – he knows what he was doing. And I think the people in Miami would be better off for having listened to him. The one thing that changed for him down there, though, was this. There's no doubt that they misplayed the quarterback situation with not getting Drew Brees in the fold and having Dante Culpepper instead. And he will say, and he has said numerous times, that it was doctor recommended that they didn't sign Drew Brees because Drew was coming off of the shoulder injury. And who knows what would have happened if he would have got him. Maybe he'd still be in the pros. Maybe he would have built the Dolphin way down there. Because I can tell you this, I can tell you this with certainty. What Bill took to New England, him and Nick, along with Ozzie Newsome in the group when we were in Cleveland, they were building it there. They were developing the blueprint there. Bill took off, hit the jackpot with Tom Brady. Nick never found his Tom Brady, and he left and went to Alabama, and the rest is history.
Exactly, and he basically built a Tom Brady-like legacy with the right. Crimson Tide. It has been incredible, right. And we saw that culminate yet again in a seventh title on Monday night. Lewis, we appreciate so much the insight into this situation. Going to be fascinating to watch it unfold, and I'm sure we'll talk to you very soon as
Thanks,
it does.
Lewis.
You bet, man. Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Lewis Riddick, our ESPN Monday Night Football analyst. All right, Chinay, coming up next, you mentioned we're going to get to the next portion of the AFC divisional round as we preview this conference coming up for these games this weekend. We've got two big-time young quarterbacks on display this weekend. Which would you take if you had to back one for the next 5 years? We'll do that after this word from Body Armor. Start the new year off right by committing to your fitness goals and let Body Armor Lite help you achieve them. Body Armor Lite's the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. It's got no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Whatever your goals might be, Body Armor Lite's keeping you hydrated during your workouts and your busy day. And from now until April 30th, if you buy $20 of any Body Armor product, you're going to earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Lamar, Josh Allen, who you got? Next on Chinay and Golic Jr.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Look, Junior, this place, the worldwide leader in sports, has no mercy when it comes to this, and I'll tell you exactly what that is. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Now, I say no mercy because you know me. I am super level-headed. It takes a lot of me for me to just say, this is who I'm taking, because I always believe as an athlete, as a current athlete, everyone still has a chance, Junior, and I try to hedge my bets. But ESPN has no mercy, because what just happened in the break? Y'all really hit me with the pump fake.
Well, we did. What, talking about the matchup coming up this weekend right now, because we've been sitting around here, and listen, we asked our colleague this the other day, and so it only feels right that we should have to answer this question, because we've been doing our AFC preview going into this weekend, the divisional round, and we're now at the Ravens against the Bills this weekend. Two promising young quarterbacks in Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, and we asked Dan Orlovsky yesterday which quarterback he would take for the next 5 years, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. And you're right, this place explodes around here anytime you throw a debate out here. That's how you know it's good.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I would probably say Josh Allen. And before the season, I would not have said Josh Allen. Now, but I can't deny what my eyes have shown me this year. You know, my eyes have shown me that when the play is there, he's operating that play like, he's okay, cool, here comes this route. Bang, that ball's getting ripped there. But when the play's not there, it still doesn't matter. And those are the kinds of things that I've said about Patrick Mahomes, that I've said about Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not saying he's those guys, but my goodness, he looks like them a lot of times. And what I saw this throughout this season and really against Indy, which is a top eight defense in the NFL, was a guy that in many ways is just unstoppable right now, man. And if I had to take one of those three – I would take Josh Allen moving forward.
So Junior, Dan Orlovsky takes Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson, also in the spirit of the AFC divisional. Today we're covering the divisional through the lens of the AFC, so we've covered the Browns and Chiefs, and now we're on to the Ravens versus the Bills, Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen. You heard it from Uncle Dan, but we'll give you our points of view next. Cliff?
Now it feels right.
Now it feels good. Perfect.
So, Janae, who are you taking?
I mean, I'm going to go with Lamar just because I started the season riding for Lamar, and I'm not someone that jumps off the bandwagon, but it's really fascinating because, you know, for Lamar Jackson, what this Ravens team has been able to do is sort of reinvent themselves in a way that is funny because they haven't really reinvented much, but in the course of the season, they've been able to be back to who they originally were. And Lamar, I feel like the confidence, and it was just so funny hearing that from Lewis Riddick, how that big Monday night game, that game that they covered in which he went back into the locker room and there was a number two situation. I don't know if it's confirmed.
He went poop. And
he went poop.
I'm willing to say that.
Number two.
Yeah. He went poop.
No, but it's just really funny because, you know, this is a guy that's literally living up to the incredibly high standard that he set. And on the other side of the spectrum, based on what Josh Allen did last year in the playoffs, the standard is extremely low. So I feel like we're inclined to say Josh, even though overall I think his team is the most primed to beat the Chiefs, or at least be the number one contender. They're the ones that are coming into the playoffs. At least I feel like we're focused from the last game of the regular season to the, you know, making it through that tough round. You know, I am saying Lamar just because I feel like his confidence should actually give him motivation when it comes to Josh Allen, considering they're in the same draft and all that type of stuff. But I do see overall as a team, the Bills probably are the team to beat.
Yeah,
I guess I hedged there. Again,
oh, yeah, no, big time hedge there. But I'm going to say at the beginning there, you still picked Lamar Jackson, and so
yes,
that's the one I think you're going to run with in this spot. And I understand it's tough because it's a coin flip. You have two extremely dynamic athletes at the quarterback position in here. Josh Allen, while he's been honing that accuracy for the last couple of years, has made a living getting in open space, being bigger and being faster than most of the people he's going against. Obviously, he's not moving at the mock speeds that that we're talking about with Lamar Jackson, but I still think he's a guy that's an extreme athlete at the position who's grown more into the quarterback. And, Janae, I might take Josh just for that reason because we've seen such steady progression so far, and it's a different conversation if we're saying pluck them out of their current situation and start over, because both teams have built around these guys very well in their spots.
And I think it's like, which player has more impact if he plays well? Probably Lamar, but which player is in a system where he can succeed as a team? And it's probably Josh.
Well, and I think both teams deserve credit for building systems like that, where with Lamar, they gave him a bunch of big tight ends. Obviously, the receiving weapons still need an upgrade there. For Josh Allen, they've given him everything there. A bona fide number one in Stephon Diggs here. Guys like Cole Beasley in the middle to try and help out. Now you're just looking at the defense saying, can they take the next step? Can they get a competent run game there? But it's tough for that reason, Janae.
I'm sorry. You said Cole Beasley. Did you see the videos that were hitting the streets?
Yes, Chinay. For everyone that missed it, there were videos out there of Cole Beasley going on radio and rapping on the mic. And I knew as soon as I saw that, Cole Beasley again, who is a wide receiver of a certain complexion, I knew that Chinay was going to come in here and instantly claim that he was my favorite rapper.
Yeah, I thought he was your favorite player, not your favorite rapper.
Yeah, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Now, again, we've got the AFC division games that we're talking about today. Tomorrow, we'll hit the NFC and give you our picks for the entire NFL weekend coming up.
Yes.
The division round is such an unbelievable weekend. We finally get to see the one seeds, and we've talked so much about the importance of that spot in this year. The only seed getting a bye, the Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs. So we've got a lot more to get into there. But coming up next, on and off the field, what does the Urban Meyer potential hire mean for the Jacksonville Jaguars? That's next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.